Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is currently retracting his penis. It's Richard Herring!
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're much better than last week's audience. I can tell that already. I'm patronising you. Last week's were much better. So, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to Echo Smith, and they said they wished that they could call it Rahalastapa, which you'd really laugh at if it was 2014, if I'd done it then. It's a good joke. So, this is what... hello, welcome to the live streaming people again. I hope you're having a nice time. I hope it's all working okay. Someone in the audience actually tweeted me this week to ask me if I'd been at a festival and said that... It was actually their husband said, can you settle a family argument? And he said, my wife said she met you at a festival this week and you talked for 5 minutes. And I wasn't at a festival. I was at home being dizzy. And it turned out that someone was pretending to... She'd recognised someone who she thought was me and said, are you Richard Herring? And he'd said, yes. And they'd had a five-minute discussion about the podcast in which I'd said, what a talent James Acaster was. That should have been there. And he'd had a photo taken... And she sent me the photo of a man who looks vaguely like me. But he looks what?
He sounded like
me. I know you said he sounded like it's Hannah. There, I'm guessing that's Hannah. He had the same voice as me. And I'm getting all these stories all the time around the country. People saying, you're in a KFC in Southampton. You were very rude. When I was writing for the Metro, I wrote an article about politeness and someone said, that's very interesting, given the way you were behaving in that curry house in Walthamstow last night. There's some guy going around pretending to be me. He's got my voice down. He knows, doesn't pretend. He's getting all the benefits of being Richard Herring, which is many benefits. I once got a pound off Keychain.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Because of who I was... In Welwyn Garden City, the man recognised me, gave me a pound off. Because he's getting that. That's I've earned that pound off my keys. All the ladies, I would be getting off. He's getting the rich. He's got very bright white teeth, this guy, which I don't. And he's got a snaggle tooth that goes. If you meet him, it's not. If you see a guy, look at his teeth. That's how you can tell. But I'm worried it is, because I do so much stuff where I'm multiple personalities now. I'm worried it is actually me. Didn't look anything like it. It's so insulted, Hannah, that you think you... Yeah, it's all right. It's just a coincidence you're here this week after... A bit worried about. If you look like me, would you go around saying you were me, or would you go around saying you were Brad Pitt? That's the question. That's what I would do. Is he just answered to whoever he says? We've got... I'm going to put your phone up, mate. I know you're listening. Copying my voice. Listening for... I'm going to get you. And my other, look out for the teeth. The other news is that my son, he's nearly four, he's four next month. He told me the other day, we were out at Soft Play, and he's having a baby, he's going to have a baby. So it's coming at Christmas. So I'm looking forward to it. It's in his tummy at the moment, he told me, and it's coming out at Christmas, and I told him it's good to be. I didn't think I'd get to be a granddad, so it's nice. Nice that that's happening. That's my big news. So, my guests this week are probably best known. One of them is best known as the winner of the Phones For You comedy. Remember Phones For You? Remember them? He was the one who ended that. And the other one is best known for being the warm-up for the Channel 4 pilot Felix and Murdo. We please welcome Barry Dodds and Ian Boldsworth, ladies and gentlemen. Here they are, there's Ian Boldsworth. Got there. Okay. Ah! Wow, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. They're making a film right now.
It's a 360 camera.
Is it?
Yeah, I wanted people to, you know, ordinary people.
Yeah.
I wanted them to experience what it was like to walk out on your
too many,
show.
Too many degrees, 360.
You don't say need bye to them.
Bye-bye. Thanks for coming to my show.
It's finished now.
It's good. That's nice. How you doing, boys? Lovely. This is you are actually the guests who were... before I start, actually, I do want to say, Ian,
yeah.
Just leave the sexism in the dressing room this time. We haven't had... You've had to change your name. We haven't had you back all this time.
You should explain that, because... Several times I've noticed in your blog that you do, that you say several times... Sorry, mate, I feel like I'm really blocking you out. Several times you've said about, notorious sexist Ian Boldsworth and all that. And which is fine, that's fine. And relatively fair comment.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. Even that, they're like, is he serious? Is he actually a real one? So people don't know, because not everyone listens to your podcast. Not everyone.
No, that's true. Well, I did think about putting out a call on Twitter saying, if you're the girl who...
Free tickets.
I'll give you £1,000 to come and sit in the front row.
Really? Yeah. Really? Well, what was never said on that one... This is Barry, by the way.
Hello, Barry.
What was never
Hello.
Said on that
all
one...
Right. Was the Hello, internet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he is right.
No, I said to somebody I'd wave at them. So,
okay.
What, your friend internet? Oh, it don't matter. There was somebody accused me of being a sexist. No, I wasn't being a sexist.
Where were they sat?
They were there, where that fucking woman is there.
All that is close.
It was a Sunday afternoon gig, and for some reason,
weird? It was an horrible thing. And you gave me the money that they paid for their badges on top of the fee. Yeah. So that I could tweet, I got your pound. I changed the badge to I got your pound. That sort of thing. But I've had doesn't matter.
But
that's been brought up in counselling.
Has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful podcast. Go back and listen to it. It was called Ray Peacock in those days. I think it's under that old name. So had to change his name.
Thanks for sending everyone there.
That's all right.
Appreciate it.
It was a lovely podcast. And so it's nice to have you back. And you were the guys who were the first show cancelled. And we actually were before the official... We cancelled the show before the official lockdown came.
Yeah, we were here and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was. So it's nice to have you back. Many who'd booked tickets.
Why
cheer
would you
now.
Try and humiliate? Imagine that. Imagine that was just one person.
I want hello. They've come back. They've still liked you 18 months later.
Thank you very
and
much.
And they've come here to see you, not to see Bob Mortimer, which was last week anyway, so why would they be here now?
I thought this was sold out, though. There's loads of empty seats.
Yeah, they're sold. That's the ghost. That's ghosts, Barry.
COVID,
they're every single one of those is a ghost.
I had
an elderly audience.
Family. All four of them.
We talked about this.
Oh, no, I know. Where's me water? Not
on
kid,
on
yeah.
Patreon, we did a dummy run of this right. show because I said I was so worried about Barry.
I've got me book. Shall I go get me book that's got the list of things not to talk about? Shall I have it handy? No. I won't read it out, but you I'll refer to it before talking.
But you can't... That's dressing room chat, that, mate. That's not something that we discussed
no, we did it on...
when the show has started.
All right, OK.
Shall I go and get me book that tells me not to be racist?
No, it wasn't racist. It was I'm not racist.
Accents
it?
Was the thing we discussed.
Okay. Accents.
Yeah, don't do accents.
I won't do an accent, apart from Geordie.
OK.
But that's, you know...
I mean, is that an accent, Barry? Your own voice? I don't know if your own voice is an accent.
My accent goes... When if I'm nervous, angry, or scared,
yeah,
really Geordie.
So always Geordie.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. you have no other emotions.
normally it's just like really boring and.
A lot of this film is completely indecipherable because he's just terrified for the whole thing.
How are the Americans going to deal with it?
Pardon?
How? The Americans, like...
Don't worry about it. It's not.
Right,
we're going to send you around to every house in America that buys a film and you have to say slowly what you meant.
All right. I thought you were going to say I had to go around and apologise.
That's it.
So we should explain, for any listeners who are unaware... The film, and you both worked together on a podcast called Parapod, and incredibly, you've had enough people who are fans of that and listen to that to make a feature film based on the.
It's
podcast.
A common misconception that.
The show's popular enough.
No. We got a decent chunk. We sold credits on the film, so we basically said you can have your name on the credits for a tenner.
Yeah.
So we did. So that launched it as a project, but it's been funded on top of that.
Sure.
Because we've got a producer here who's put like loads of money in, who's going, can you stop? Can somebody give me some credit, please? So yeah, he saw it through, and I've put a fair chunk in as well, really.
Sure.
Over the years, so it's sort of Yeah, I think it's a misconception that it's completely crowdfunded.
Okay, it is. And it's one that I'm happy to carry on with.
I think I started before you, and then you copied the podcast, and then you started doing it as well. And I think you and I have been sort of weirdly neck and neck for a while, but I've now gone beyond just crowdfunding everything all the time. I now have meetings and stuff where... People go, yeah, I'm prepared to put... I won't embarrass you. But it's silly money.
Daft money.
He's never said such a thing.
But it's very exciting. And the good news is I've seen the film twice and both times it's still not... It's not even shit the second time. And I'd have been really happy if it had been bad. I would have been so happy if you'd spent loads of money on something that was really shit. And the other good news is you don't have to have listened to the podcast. I mean, you should listen to the podcast, but if you haven't listened to the podcast, it doesn't matter.
No,
it's very
not.
Quickly explained what's happened in the podcast. Barry seems to believe anything that is said to him. and it's sort of become even more topical as a result of that, hasn't it, in the way that the world's operating now.
I'd say the original series has become more relevant. Well, certainly the third series, which is about conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Has become more resonant and relevant, I think, you know, sadly, but it's also something, you know, I'm quite confident I'm going to be held up as some sort of Nostradamus figure in years to come because I said this would happen. I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't the only person saying it, but...
So you believe in something paranormal then, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, I was... No, what, but what, one, you know, the conspiracies series, the third series, there was a lot of, like, quite how frightening this is that... You know, it's when I go serious about it, about people believing in ghosts and stuff, it's because people go, what's the harm in him believing whatever he wants? It's like, well, nothing really. But until you go, that is your base, that's what you do. So for somebody who believes anything, no matter what, and I don't even mean Barry really in this, but, you know, the people that will just believe there's a ghost in there, that theatre's haunted, there's a ghost in there, and they go, oh, there is, I can feel, I can sense something. If you're predisposed to feel like that and to accept things like that, it follows that you're also predisposed to someone saying to you, they're putting a microchip inside you.
Yeah.
Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely.
So that's where it's dangerous. That's where it's like. And then you get buffoons going out and shouting that with megaphones and stuff, you know, and stopping people from taking their choice. Talk about choice and stopping people taking their choice. So it's, you know, it sort of stops being funny at that point.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of what we do.
Bad luck, isn't it, for you then?
Well, no, because the thing about it is a lot of them are going to die. Like, they are. And I've genuinely got to a stage now, like, God forgive me, but I've got to a stage now where I'm like, fuck them. Like, I really have.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the people that are affected by their actions have all the sympathy and heartache for in the world. But for the people that are now actively not doing stuff, fuck them. That's really where I'm at.
Yeah. And Ian's the more sceptical of the two. So he's more sceptical. I was listening to the, I think the third series, which was about conspiracy theories, and there was one that I hadn't really, the very enjoyable episode about the Mandela effect, Barry.
Yeah.
Are you still into the Mandela effect? And do you want to explain what that is?
Oh.
You should expect. Actually, we should genuinely shut up for about half an hour.
Yeah.
Because it's a big. This is a big topic. Yeah. So, if you could explain everything, or just anything.
So the Mandela effect is, we remember things happening differently to how they actually happened, and the conspiracy of it, when you get right down to it, people seem to be blaming something to do with the Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Because I think you're terrified at the moment.
I'm a bit scared.
It's like I didn't bother with that. I was too busy. Like the whole thing about things being different. That was the bit that got me, not the explanation. So
you can almost sense our downloads spiking at the moment, can't you? As people, I've got to hear more about this.
I'm trying to think what's different now. Because you've got to remember what it was. So one of them. Oh no!
It's one of them. There was a
no. Wait. You can't.
Oh yeah. Cheers. Nice.
No, that's not how this works. You can't have someone prompt you and tell you that your friend's sat there going, "Say something intelligent for God's sake."
Right. What did? Who is it? Sleep. The Queen. You know the film Snow White and the Seven...
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, the Seven what? The Seven what?
Is that on your list not to say dwarfs?
The Seven what?
Tell him off.
What for? That's what it's called. He's not said anything wrong. You've made it look weird by going... The Seven... I don't like talking about them. They scare me. For Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, you can say dwarves, that's the name of the film. If it's a person walking down the street, you can't go, look at that dwarf. That's the difference, it's a little person.
What if they're in it, in the theatre?
If you're in the theatre, then just don't...
Probably...
I learned that here last time, just don't talk. Don't. All right, okay. Just shut up.
No, it's about... So, right, the Queen in...
Yeah. I've worked so hard on this film.
Yeah.
The Queen...
For years.
The Queen in Snow White, what does she say to the mirror.
I've listened to the podcast.
Which is what he told you at the beginning of the question.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, everyone thinks it's mirror, mirror on the wall.
They don't. I told you straight away that it wasn't that. when you said it to me, I told you straight away.
Yeah, but then we rang me mum, and me mum said...
Your mum isn't everybody. She's just a very unfortunate lady. That deserves nothing but our sympathy.
But the Mandela effect, so the actual Mandela bit, I mean, this is one of the many changes that's happened through that you think it's mirror, mirror on the world, but it's magic mirror on the world, and that's one of the differences between the two universes.
Yeah.
Thank God I don't live in that other fucking universe where it's vast, magic mirror.
These vast universes. C-3PO hasn't got a silver leg in that one as well. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Someone was surprised in 2007 or something, was surprised to hear that Nelson Mandela was still alive.
Yeah.
Because they remembered Nelson Mandela dying in prison in 1986.
They remember his funeral.
Yeah. I remember him being the president.
I remember that.
I remember him getting out of prison.
Do you watch the news?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
I really...
It's that, mate.
I really have a strong memory of that.
I don't know anything about Nelson Mandela, if I'm perfectly honest.
But did you know that he died?
No.
But were you certain that he was alive?
I didn't know if he was alive or dead.
That's the answer.
Right.
You're just not informed about it. Which is fine, you're allowed to not be, but... It's,
yeah.
But it's not anything to do with the Large Hadron Collider. Right.
But also the Snow White's changed a bit probably won't change that much in the world. People would say that phrase slightly differently. But a universe where Nelson Mandela had died in 1986 would be really different. I mean, there'd be a lot of differences now because he did a lot of stuff. And he wasn't all that. I mean, he was well known, but he became better known once he was released from prison. It's sort of astonishing someone could get 2007 and not remember that he was the president of...
But that's the argument that in there, where they live... In their universe, that hasn't happened. That's the argument. That he did die in prison, but it's just. But we can talk to them for some reason. These people on a different plane.
Yeah, well, that's possible.
It's not. It's toss.
I believe that.
It's utter toss, as well. It's nonsense. I believe in that. It's nonsense. Yeah, I see what your tactic is. Yeah, I get it. I've just got it. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, that was so. There's that was an interesting thing about conspiracy theories. It's well worth listening to, mainly because when you talk to your mum, you call the film Sleeping Beauty. How do you know you're not from a universe where...
You do.
Yeah.
You
I mean, yeah, that's the whole... about 15 minutes. And then your mum goes, I think it's Snow White. And then you go, no, I'm pretty sure it's Sleeping Beauty. So that's how mistakes happen, that people misremember things.
Although I should tell you, mate, like in your defence, that on my copy of it, you don't say that at all.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Don't mention Sleeping Beauty at any point.
No, it's all...
You sure he mentioned Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, I think in mine it was all about sleeping. There's a long conversation.
Don't remember that. I edit it as well, so I should know. Wow. No? Weird. He's gone now. He's gone. He doesn't even know the joke we're doing. He's just gone.
It's exciting, isn't it? Believing everything. Is it? It's good.
That's
isn't it?
The most I've ever been talked down to in my entire life.
And that's fucking saying something.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's nice.
Do you like London, the big lights? Ooh. Do you want to go on a big red bus? Sorry. Okay.
He is right.
Have you got any... Is there any new things you're obsessed with? Or any...
What was that... obsessed with last night. Oh,
he does one a day.
So some people might know about this. I found out about it, and I had a bit of a debate with a mate of mine. Has anyone heard of the fallen angel of Catalonia? Has no one heard of this? These blokes went
not in this universe, mate.
These blokes went into the woods because they could hear something, and they went in. And there's feathers everywhere. Honestly, they went in.
In a wood?
Yeah.
Well, okay, weird.
And you'll have to watch it, but there's...
No, you tell us.
You can't watch it. That's not legal, is it? I don't think you can watch that, can you?
What?
Watch what?
The video of the fallen angel, Catalonia.
It's the feathers of an angel.
Well, that's what they say, because there's this weird creature.
Who's they? Who does?
The people who put the video on.
Right.
Yeah.
The people with the agenda.
They're not famous. I've never heard of them.
What do you mean you've never heard of them? You're telling us about them right now. How have you never heard? You have heard of them. Because they told you that them feathers were from an angel. Otherwise, you wouldn't have heard of them, would you?
No, I can't remember. I would have heard about it, actually.
No, it doesn't.
But anyway, there's this thing in the woods, right? And it's... Honestly, just look at it, and it looks at the camera, and it's got glowing eyes. It's the freakiest thing. I watched it last night, and it honestly gave me chills. Yeah. I'm surprised I didn't send it to you.
Is it real, Christina? No, Christina says it's not real. Your friend in the audience says it's not.
I sent you a link.
Christina sent you a link that debunks it.
Yeah, but I
found... The film's available to pre-order on iTunes.
But I found a website...
Top of the charts at the moment on the pre-orders, it comes out on the 27th of September, but we're doing some dates before that, but I don't think this will be out before then. Sorry, ooh. Carry on telling us about your glowing eyes.
But it's sort of... I mean, I don't want to patronise you, Barry, because...
It's all right.
Because Ian does a very good job of that in the film.
Do you think I patronise him?
Yeah, and bully him a little bit. Now I'm up here... I sort of understand it.
Yeah, it's not.
When I watched the film, I thought, "Oh, that's a bit harsh."
Yeah.
But now I'm here.
Yeah. You can hit him if you want. Okay. Go and do one kick. You can have one kick. I would do. Well, we debate it, don't we? We say that I don't bully you, don't we? Say that. Say it. Tell the people. I've not been accused of bullying Barry very much. Okay. It's sort of a common misconception that I have been accused of that.
Yeah.
And we think it's maybe happened maybe two or three times ever that I've actually been accused. Because it's one of them where it's like, you know what I mean? It's not, there's no gun at his head or anything like that. And it's, you know, the whole premise of the show is that idea. are you doing puppy dog eyes out?
Just blink if you want to get out.
But the one time where someone on, like, I think, was it on Twitter or something? Somebody went proper, had a go at me about it, and we took that picture.
Yeah, someone had a go, and then for a laugh, I was your footstool. Yeah.
Just put him on all fours, and I had my feet on him playing PlayStation.
Playing Spider-Man, yeah.
Saying that I didn't bully him at all. But I made him do that. I said he had to do it. Or I would give him a Chinese burn, is what I said.
It's a nice relationship because you are very strident in believing what you believe, and you very strongly believe what you believe, and... You're not going to really resolve it, I don't think.
No.
And that's a nice relationship. You're clearly enjoying yourselves throughout the film.
But if it was a marriage, you would dissolve it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would go, no, this is irreconcilable differences. It is. Well, that was said, wasn't it, at the premiere, when we did the premiere back in the olden days, before. Do you remember somebody said about the film that what they liked about it was that it was two complete opposite points of view that didn't kill each other at the end. And we're still friends.
Yeah, by the end of it.
And it did, and that hadn't even occurred to us, I don't think. Oh, I don't think it had really, in putting it together. And it was one of them where it was like, it felt, you know, that was like peak Trump time as well. That was, you know, that really divisive thing.
Yeah.
And it did, there was a moment at the premiere where it was like, oh, that is a really good point. That is, you know, this is like, two very different things that, and you don't see that very much nowadays. Oh, I don't think you do. Like on social media and stuff, it does seem to be and there's nothing, there's no, you know, connection at all. So I think the fact that we managed to stay civil for probably 90% of the film, really, there's only one big blowout in it.
Yeah,
and there's one big blow job as well, and that's. That's right near
that's end. For the patrons.
Yeah. No, it feels a bit like that. You know, you don't want to get sort of overly proud of yourself because it wasn't an intentional thing. But when something like that comes out of it, you go, oh, this now feels quite key. It feels quite relevant.
But from your point of view, wouldn't you have quite liked it if there was... I mean, it would be quite good for you if there was definitive proof.
Of there being a ghost?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Of course, yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's a bit where, you know, it's certainly open to question whether there's a ghost. Certainly one of you thinks that. I'm not going to reveal which one of you it is. I don't want to spoil the film.
Well, it was.
But there's a scare. There's a. It's properly.
It's scary. Yeah.
It's properly scary. It's a very funny film, but it's got proper scare moments in it. Mainly because you're scared of everything. Which happens in proper horror films. That you know, a leaf falls on you and you jump 10 feet in that.
Well, that is a direct quote from the film. Where it goes, oh, it's a leaf.
Yeah. well, that happened a lot when we were making it because, like, I'd go to the toilet or something, and then I'd come out and he'd be hiding behind the door or something like that, and it always made me jump. I'm really easy to make jump, but that bit that you're talking about, that bit in the film. Like, I don't mind, like, I get it. I know it's funny when I laugh when people jump. Like, one of my favourite programmes is You've Been Framed. I love watching people, like, falling over, getting a shock and things like that. I love all of that, right?
Fall over, getting a shock? Is that what you said?
No, it's like a montage, isn't it? There's loads. You should watch, honestly.
I should watch it?
Yeah.
What is it called? You've Been What? Right. What is it?
But it's...
Watch it.
But there was... So I know what's funny. I'm a comedian, apparently.
That's his opening line when he does it. Hello, I'm Barry Dodds. I'm a comedian, apparently. I know what's funny.
I know those bits are funny, but that bit that you're talking about,
yeah.
I find it really difficult to watch.
Yeah.
And I find it... That
bit's not funny.
No, it's.
I've never seen an audience laugh at that.
I don't think it's funny at all.
It's genuinely upsetting and disturbing, and
it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to me. I've just talked to somebody about this recently. A ghost hunter on an investigation somewhere, and it came up, and I said, I still can't find it as being a positive thing in my life because I hated it, and I hate that it happened, but.
Well, there is a bit as well in that similar part of the film where you get a curse put on you.
Me?
Yeah, you dress as a witch, put a curse on you, and then COVID came along.
That's true.
And it ruined you were just about to launch the film, and then COVID came along.
It would take some leap of narcissism. Wouldn't it, though? Like, you know what I mean? We've all got egos and stuff, but it would take some leap of narcissism for me to go... It's because Barry made me stand in that same circle in Edinburgh. It's definitely me. It's definitely me that's cursed here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
But there's loads that hasn't gone smoothly since you did that.
In the world?
Yeah.
To be fair.
Are you genuinely pinning this on me? Is that, are you genuinely...
Right. We had the premiere and we were dead excited.
Yeah.
Next door in the cinema. And
don't even know what it's called.
Go on.
Yeah, Prince Charles.
Prince Charles Cinema.
Yep.
Big moment. Scaffolded up everywhere, couldn't see our name on the board.
Well, they didn't put our name up. They had to refund us.
Did they?
Because we paid for a marquee thing and then they went, oh, we're not doing that at the moment.
Oh, right.
So they ruined our premiere.
Well, that was one bit.
So you think that the Prince Charles Cinema in London decided to do renovation work on their ancient cinema because I stepped in a stone circle in Edinburgh?
I'm just saying there's been loads of unlucky things.
Well, carry on.
Happened.
Keep going.
Someone's windscreen cracked while we were driving. Did.
Yeah.
Your
pipes burst at home?
Pipes burst at home.
But you didn't step in the stone circle, so what
did
was that?
Did the woman heckling you happen before or after you stepped in the circle?
Before.
Yeah.
Okay. Before.
I was going to say a lot of bad things have happened to you before
that happened.
That's
true, yeah.
But it was weird. I still wouldn't step in that circle. I was so surprised. I know obviously you're fiercely sceptical, but... I was still surprised with how casually you did it.
I feel like a lot of what we're saying here, we're not even. It's like if you've not seen the film or whatever, which most people haven't, they don't know what we're on about. So the stone circle, Barry made me stand in a stone circle in the Edinburgh Vaults, which was run by a witch's coven. And then when we got there, he found out the witch that he was going to get to put a curse on me had died 3 years ago. So he had to put the curse on me, and he said that if I didn't stand in the stone circle. This is his words, that proves that I think there's something in it. So as in, you know, something in it being, you could be cursed. So I had no choice but to do that anyway. The only thing that would have stopped me doing it is respect, really, you know, being disrespectful. But I don't believe in any, but I had to go into the middle of the Stone Circle, but I've not felt particularly unfortunate since at all. And I can't possibly, to either of you, say that a pandemic is all aimed at me.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it. It's not felt personal.
Alan thinks that you really believe though, doesn't he? Don't you, Alan?
Fuck off.
You think
who's
he's
Alan?
Oh, fuck.
He
yeah,
says
so that sort of level. That yeah. sort of level.
He says he thinks that beanie hat looks ridiculous. Alan's saying it to me. Well, do you remember Alan?
Do you want to explain that?
Alan was in the house where the monk was halfway up the stairs with us.
So, in this situation now, I'm as baffled as
and
you all are.
He's just here, Alan's just...
Yeah, no, so exactly that. So what he's doing now, that means that his opinion on this can't be trusted. So that means that when he's trying to give an argument about something, the fact he's going, who's Alan? He just doesn't remember. So how can you possibly hold up a coherent argument? You just don't remember. It's what Carol said. Carol said she was speaking to someone called Alan.
Oh, right.
So in the film, I'm speaking to someone who's a psychic medium, and she starts talking perfectly pleasantly at first, and then kind of got under her skin a little bit, and then she just...
Alan's under Alan's skin.
Yeah, she just lost her shit with me. And there's just a bitch went, right, and I have got someone by the side of me now. He's called Alan. And basically she goes, and he's basically saying you're a twat. Basically, you're pig-headed.
Yeah.
And he's saying that you're so pig-headed, you don't want to believe. And all. Yeah, that's what happens.
He's right, though, isn't he? I thought you were right.
Yeah, yeah, cheers. That's fine. We can have our opinions, Alan, on this, can't we, mate? We can. I don't know anyone called Alan at all. I don't.
No, he says he doesn't know you either. He just wanted. He just seen you. He was in the room. He saw you, and he really wanted to have a fucking go.
But apparently, according to that in that bit, she also says that Alan says I was just like that as a child. Right. And the thing about it is I wasn't.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. I was like shy kid, really.
Yeah.
And I believed in ghosts as a child. And I believed in God and all that sort of stuff. So I wasn't confrontational as a child.
I think Alan had just lost his temper, and so he was acting
they, up. They all just lost
he was saying life. Stuff he didn't believe.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Do you really, genuinely, in real life, like we've known each other long enough, so do you in real life like the film?
Do I like your film that you've done? Yeah. I do like your film. I think it's...
Does that genuinely in real life annoy you a little bit?
It doesn't, because I am a I know it doesn't though, because I'm a very grounded person and I'm very happy when my friends do well.
So revenge isn't a thing for
you? No, it isn't a big thing for me. But no, I am. But also what I like about it is that there's been a few things like this that have happened. Again, certainly in terms of doing a feature film, that's incredible.
Doing a feature film. Yeah,
For a podcast, you know, there's lots of podcasts that have gone a certain way, or bits on the internet that have gone a certain way. And I, as a fan of people doing stuff on the internet, I'm very excited by people pushing back the boundaries and finding new ways of doing stuff. So even if the film had been not that good, I would have still thought, that's good, isn't it? They've
done
a film.
You've done a thing, yeah.
But it stands up as a film in its own right. So and I think people will, you know, who knows how it will go, and who knows whether people will find it. But I think it's the kind of thing that could easily, you know, push through and people will discover it and enjoy it. It's funny and it's a bit scary and it comes to a conclusion.
You worry about things anyway, don't you? But I think that this is the most I've been a little bit frightened of making something. Like as in now, when reviews are coming in at the moment, and thus far they've all been lovely, thus far. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the most... I normally my attitude is like, oh, fuck them. If they don't like it, they don't like it. And there's a bit of that with me. But I think there's also a little bit of me at the moment is like, I really would like this to do well because I've worked really, 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 really hard on it.
Well, it's been, 4 or 5 years you've been working on it?
Yeah, it's about 4 years, four and a half, yeah.
And so, you know, it's a big chunk of your time and your life and you've given, you know, a lot of yourself to it. So, yeah, of course you're going to feel like that. And, you know, you never know. The great things can happen and people never find them.
Is this you starting to let me down?
No.
And you never know. Sometimes brilliant things it just doesn't happen. But we're not the sort that show that vulnerability.
Something could come from it. But even if something... I think that, you know, having been through the stuff I've been through this year, talking to Bob as well, you know, when he's been through something. Bob Mortimer, my friend. Good friend of mine. You know, you do something and then something comes out of that anyway. It doesn't. Sometimes the thing, you know, is successful and something comes of it. Or sometimes something goes badly wrong and good things come out of it. And that really happened. If you read Bob's book, that happened a lot for him. That something bad happens and it's good. So the fact you've done this is admirable, incredible. And so that's the only time I'm going to be sincere.
No, I'm not fishing for compliments.
I know, I genuinely would want you to, if as you know, we have banter and fun, and you are a dick. But
I'm a dick with two balls underneath it. Thus far,
yeah, you
know. Let's be honest. What,
right underneath.
Have you told him about it?
Have I told him about what?
About the operation.
Have I told Ian about the operation?
I can see your eyes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, exactly.
He's quite... Ian had to... Last week, had to leave because he's quite squeamish. And so discussing open heart surgery.
When Bob was discussing that, I had to actually leave the building.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have it with the audio book for Gone Fishing. I don't want to promote his stuff. He never mentioned ours. But in the audio book for Gone Fishing, which is a lovely audio book, because it's not, they don't read it, they just chat. It's just a podcast, really.
Yeah.
And the first chapter, or maybe the second chapter, I just can't listen. I have to skip it if I'm in the car.
Yeah.
Because it's really dangerous. I could genuinely just pass out.
Okay.
I am, but I'm like ultra squeamish, aren't I? Yeah, properly so. Why are you looking so mad and excited?
I'm not.
Tables have turned.
I just find it funny because you're somebody who watches, like, you know, the Saw films and all that, and then
but not much. But I know what you mean. But I know that's not real, so I'm okay with that. But I'm ultra. You're squeamish, though, aren't you?
I am squeamish. Yeah.
So even when I was messaging you when you had your operation and stuff, And I did attempt sincerity for a text, and you attempted it for half a text back. You said that it put my kidney stones to shame and all this sort of thing. Before you knew it, it was just a very inappropriate text back and forward, wasn't it? But in that moment, I did say to you, I think I put it in brackets or something, and they went, genuinely, don't tell me details, because I genuinely will faint.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Good to have that power, isn't it, Barry? It's good to have that.
Amazing.
Get it over him. But you know, I think that's it's exciting that's possible, that's feasible. I've done two independent films in this last year, and you know, one of them was a budget of like $100,000, which is tiny for a film.
Ours was less than that.
Was it less than that? Well, yours looks amazing for that, and I think they're both probably that small. And you know, if you get a team of people together who are enthusiastic about something, who are skilled at what they do, you can now make something look. Like, you know, it looks like a proper film. It doesn't look like, you know, people dicking around on the internet. It looks like a proper film.
Yeah. But that... So where... You all right? That where it... I think the idea for the film originally... I know, I wish I've not got one. I've not got one on.
I'm just checking.
I think...
Going very slow the time. When I look with...
It's because your planet hasn't turned up. the idea, the original, when the decision was made, which was a real flash decision to make a film, because we were doing a speculative pilot, mm-hmm. is what we would, self-funded. And we, like, a weird thing happened with it because we filmed at East Drive, 30 East Drive, and I think we got some quite good footage. Subsequently, somebody that was working on it just sent, we'd done one treatment for it, for a potential TV show. Mm-hmm. Just, do you remember, it was first draft of the treatment. And then this person just went, I've sent it to this person. And we went, what? No, you can't send it. It's not, that's the first draft and that. And but they said no. And so of course they said fucking no. It was the first draft. But they said, what they said was, they kind of like it as an idea, the skeptic versus believer thing, but they'd want to recast it.
Yeah.
Right? So we could be development with it, but they'd want to recast it, which is fine. But it was the thing of going, already at that point, we'd had the discussion outside East Drive. It was late at night and we went out and I said to you, Q Barry.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. I'm deliberately trying not to interrupt. I really am.
All right, okay. I just said, I don't think we're making a TV show. I think we're making a film.
Yeah.
And the discussion that we had that night was one that the first thing I said was, people make films on phones. They do that, and we've both got a phone. So we could do that. I think if you commit to something, if you just go, we are doing it, then it's embarrassing to say you're not, isn't it? So if you actually force yourself and just go, we are making a film, and we've told thousands of listeners straight away, and then you go, and you can have £10, you can have a credit, it's like, fucking got to make it now. You've got to. So,
and it's also, you know, it's good. I mean, because the thing is probably that springs to mind when you see it is maybe the Blair Witch Project. Okay, so that's, it's sort of like a, you could pitch it as a comedy Blair Witch thing. It's not that, but you know, that's where it starts from. But that film was a huge success with unknown actors in it. Okay, and so it's sort of, again, it's that thing where someone, you give an idea to someone and they go, yeah, what are we going to do? We'll take it, but we're changing everything about it. And we're going to put, so it works because it's you too, right?
Mm. That wasn't me that cut you off then.
Okay. No, it's fine. Sorry.
But go ahead and talk.
Sorry. I was just going to
say... Should I just say that every time? Barry, over to you.
Thank you.
I won't interrupt.
I think he does get nervous about talking as well. That's why.
Fucking straight into that. When that thing happened, because there was a couple of people who were really interested, like you say, and they got too giddy, too quick, and they basically... just sent the pitch to Steve Coogan's production company.
You'll notice that I didn't mention the company.
Oh, right. But the point
is... It was Baby Cow.
It was Baby Cow. It was a big company, so it was a big knockback to get when we weren't even ready to try and pitch it.
We hadn't really pitched it. Yeah. And I was working with Baby Cow, on Red Dwarf, who they were making Red Dwarf. So it was one of them that was like... I wasn't offended by it at all, but it also came on the back of... I was casting... Do you remember that film I was casting about the Yeti thing, the Bigfoot thing?
Yeah.
So I was cast basically as him. Right. To play this, somebody who believed in... that was a Bigfoot in the woods and things. Yeah. And they'd... It was me and... it doesn't matter who it was. So we made a little taster tape for it, and then they kind of sacked me. They just went... We've spoken to some producers and funding people, and they're saying that, because the other person was a bit well known, and they just went and they just said that if you're in the lead, that we're not going to be able to get funding and stuff.
Yeah.
So that foot go off like, and I was actually all right, but there was two things quite close together, which kind of we talked about it quite a lot. I felt quite galvanized. I was like, right, I'll fucking show him. I'll do. Like, and I know if I was a casting director, I wouldn't put either of us in a film. Do you know what I mean? It's against.
But also, that's why it works, because you're not, you know, you, it's.
Not what?
You're not like people who are usually in films.
Well, that's.
Apart from maybe Lord of the Rings or something, you could be in.
Wow. And you could be in a Star Wars film if they ever decided to do a bit where old Ben Kenobi was trying to get into a nightclub. I've not done stand-up for a long time. I was trying there. I just saw the white hair and went, Ben Kenobi.
You are...
Trainers, nightclub guy.
You are regular guys, regular-looking guys, you know, and not film star-looking people. If they put film stars in this, you know what I mean? If they put Brad Pitt and...
Should we just walk off?
Angelina Jolie. If Barry was played by Angelina Jolie and you were played by Brad Pitt, it wouldn't be the same... It wouldn't be the same print.
There's something else that has made this film become relevant now. I think presently, I have my insecurities about the way I look. I'm sure you do too. I'm sure Barry does too.
I do have insecurities about the way you're looking.
Because it's like the desire is hard. It's powerful, isn't it? It's a powerful feeling. No, I do, but I'm also, I can't be asked doing anything about it, and I don't feel strongly enough about it. But I also feel we have a duty of care at the moment as performers, in whatever way we do it, at this present time in the world, to look as shit as we possibly can, because otherwise we're going to make everyone else, who also looks shit at the moment, feel worse about themselves. So if we come out here all chiselled and good-looking and slim and all that sort of thing, they're just going to feel even shitter than they already... Everyone is round.
Yeah.
But everyone is
but
fucked.
But it wouldn't work. It's funny that you were so invested in the whole idea, right? You know, you don't believe in any of this stuff, but you still are obsessed with trying to make him realise it. You have to be, to some extent, a loser as well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you're all like, oh, I'm very cool and I'm going to tell you why this is ridiculous.
I'm quite cool, though.
You are cool, but if you look cool, but you don't look cool. But you are cool.
Thanks, cheers,
more
mate.
More important. So, you know,
do you feel like we're losing this a little bit?
No, but it's we're going on about it too much, but it's
I'll save this.
You haven't been told you can speak, Barry.
You can speak, sorry. Do carry on.
Barry, what were you going
to
say?
To be honest with you, this is the longest a waiter's ever stood near the table, isn't it? It's quite weird. It's like we're still waiting for these fucking drinks.
No, I was just going to say, so when that happened, when that got sent off and they came back with, good idea, but not them two.
Yeah. It wasn't quite as blunt as that.
It was basically like, we need more people who are more well known. And my first thought then was, to get these people to understand it, who would be able to make something of it, you'd have to get them to listen to the podcast, because the podcast isn't necessarily about ghosts. It's about mine and Ian's relationship in my belief and with his disbelief and the argument in the middle, but without ever coming to blows or calling each other near. No, we never have. We've argued. We've got a relationship made on conflict. But
you nearly hit me once.
Yeah, I know, back of a travel lodge. I remember. Oh, it was beautiful.
It was back of a travel lodge, and I was furious that there was no cameras there. I was really screaming.
Do you know why I didn't? I had a bag of sausage rolls in my hand at the time. It was next to Greg's.
You do, honestly, you get saved in such weird ways, don't you? Like, and since then, I've put a lot of money into Greg's. Because I feel like...
But I just thought...
But you did, didn't you? But that's quite
yeah,
relevant.
Yeah, just being at Greg's.
No, I don't mean you were at Greg's. He squared up to me.
Sorry.
I can still see your eyes. I can remember it. Okay, it was very early in the morning. You hadn't had much sleep and you squared up to me.
I was done. That was the morning that I was done. And I was beyond tired.
But do you not think that would have looked, if we'd have filmed that, that would have looked fucking brilliant? It would have been uncomfortable. I stared you right down.
Yeah, and I stared you right down as well. But the problem was...
You had sausage rolls that you wanted to eat. Yeah. If you imagine two people like glaring at each other, one of them just going... Like Ewan in the office.
But it was through a combination of like exhaustion and nerves and hunger that me getting angry meant that my finger that I was trying to point deliberately was fucking trembling the whole time. I don't think it would have looked that good on screen.
Oh, I think it would have been ace. Oh, I do, honestly,
nah,
I really do.
Nah, I'm sort of glad.
Well, there is an argument in the film and it is, you know...
That's quite intense, yeah.
I mean, it's because...
It was worse than that. Though.
Is it all real, genuine?
I mean, yeah. There was a review came out today when we're recording this that said it was a mockumentary.
Yeah.
And I retweeted it because we've got to do all that at the minute. But it was like, I had to say, it's not a mockumentary. It says at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The following events are real. But going back to Blair Witch, so did Blair Witch. You know, that has become a thing now where people do say that as a device to make it from, you know, Texas Chainsaw, I guess, really on with. It
goes back to Cannibal Holocaust. Just
I do apologise.
But it was the first film to do that trick, which was make a statement that means absolutely nothing. And it says right at the start, for reasons of authenticity, some sequences are retained in their entirety.
Okay.
And so you watch it and you go, oh, but it doesn't mean anything. So it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So when I saw that thing where it said the following events are real, I had a feeling that I thought, is this a sort of nod to things like Blair Witch and that sort of, as in, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but you were there. Do you remember when we filmed that film? That
yeah.
Time? You were there and you know that it...
Yeah, I know it was real.
He's tapped out.
Gone, right.
He's looking at Bob Mortimer questions again now. but you know that was real.
But I sort of like the fact that it puts a bit of doubt in your mind as well, as into.
I agree for an audience, but that shouldn't happen to you. Who was you shouldn't have a bit of doubt in your mind. Oh, is this all made up? And who's that bloke who really looks like me in it?
No, I just meant it was, oh, fucking hell, we met this bloke in the woods, Richard. You wouldn't believe me.
Yeah. No, that wasn't a prompt.
Sorry.
I was doing a private joke between us, but you can tell him if you want.
Yeah, tell me about the bloke in the woods.
Oh, we met this bloke in the woods. Have you ever met somebody...
Was he an angel?
Well...
Completely naked, all his feathers are gone.
Have you ever met someone who looks just the double of you?
We were just talking, well, hey, him. she's met someone who's the Hannah's...
It was one of the spookiest things in the world. It was like seeing a mirror me. It just arrived.
I started talking to him thinking it was Barry.
Right.
It's a delete. It's not in the film.
Why have you deleted that? That sounds amazing.
I'll send it you. It's on Patreon, but I'll send it you. Okay. It's a guy called Patrick, and he, our producer had met him in a pub. These stories are worth telling, aren't they? And forgive me, Bill, but I'm going to tell the story. So two things happened, right? Bev Dixon works on the film. You know John is PA.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so Bev... Bev, what?
I know what you're going to say.
Right.
I know what story's coming.
Now, me and Bev are good pals. The producer, I think, just saw her as, oh, that's Johnny Vegas's PA. I don't think he'd registered that me and Bev knew each other. Mm-hmm. So Bev was telling me things that the producer was trying to set up to catch me out in the film I was directing.
Yeah.
So, but in the woods, he'd asked Bev... So the two things. One, he'd booked Patrick. It was a bloke that he met in a pub who told him that he'd got a machine that could bring down aliens to the earth. And Bill had gone, brilliant, do you want to be in a film? Right? And it was a surprise. I didn't know about it, but I did know about it because Bev had told me, right? The second thing that happened, but I didn't know that he looked like Dodds. The second thing, do you want to tell this? Because I now feel like I should bail.
No, I don't. I really don't want to tell it. No, I honestly, it's a minefield for me, that.
Actually, that is true. I'll be able to say the right words. Yeah. So, the producer said to Bev, can you use some of your showbiz contacts to book Warwick Davis to dress up and jump out at Ian in the woods? And I said, why has he asked you that? And she went, I just said, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I went, why does he want to do that? And she went, he thinks it'll make you jump. I went, well, it might, but I also might just knock him spark out. Just like just on the spot, because I won't know. I'm directing this film, so I should know what's going on. And it was a moment where I was like, I'm genuinely flying solo here. Like, do you know what I mean? As a director, I was like, oh, fuck, this could go so bad. And it was also, but the problem with Warwick, it was like, why Warwick? Like, why? If it's a little person that you want to, but by all means, if that's what you think, if that's the logic you've got of something, you know, smaller coming out in the woods, but why Warwick? And then we started thinking, is it the only, does he think there's only one? Won it though. We were discussing it like I don't know how to broach this at all. And yeah, but the problem is
that Bill is obviously a man with money to burn. Hence this, and you know that there was no way of guaranteeing that he wasn't just going to Google Warwick Davis agent, and then at some point
book him direct,
book him direct, and at some point we're going to be in a haunted location. Then you've honestly, it's a weird thing looking over your shoulder for Warwick Davis, right?
In the woods,
just being like
in the middle of the night. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
It was like that, yeah. Where we just kept sort of saying to each other, "Keep, do be extra vigilant." but it wasn't it mainly. We were discussing that when we were there, and I was saying, "I'm just really scared. I will kick him or hit him." I was scared of that.
Yeah.
Of just like lashing out. If something attacks me, I will lash out. Like
imagine that in the film, that'd be amazing.
It wouldn't.
Then they could ask you for 10 tenable things. You watch Tenable.
For what?
You watch Tenable, he's the host of Tenable. It's the show I watched when I was recovering from chemo.
I can't work that programme out.
It's good. It's got two different hosts, which is great. So Warwick Davis does some of them, and then when he can't be bothered, the girl from Coronation Street does it. Sally Lindsay does it. Yeah, and it's like pointless, but you've got to come up with a list of 10 things. It's quite hard, but... I was watching it when I was recovering from chemo. It's one of the things that I associate, and it makes me feel sick to watch it as a result. There's things that make me feel...
Because of the chemo?
Yeah, because I was feeling sick when I was watching it. And also, it's sponsored by a bed company, the reclining beds, because it's for old people in the daytime. And the music is slightly discordant to this, and that makes me feel... And it's making me feel sick talking about it now. It's sort of like... It's just slightly off-key. Someone told me about all the musicality of why it makes me feel like, but the music actually makes me feel sick.
But it's just like a game show.
Yeah, it's good, though. It's a good game show.
But
it's too hard. Do anyone watch Tenable? It's on in the daytime. Yeah, it's too hard, isn't it?
I have quite a lot of things that
I like
I'm...
it, though. I want to do it. Do you want to be on my team? I want to go on it. I said I want to go on, and Ed Byrne immediately tweeted and said, "I'll be on your team."
I nearly got on that one with Ben Shepherd where the thing is dropping.
Yeah, I've done that.
I nearly got on that.
Ben Shepherd's a future guest. Still some tickets available if you want to come and see Ben Shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
I've never entered a game show, and I never will. Why? What one? You tried to get on Crystal Maze as well.
Yeah, we got knocked back from Crystal Maze because one of my mates acted the dick. We were so close to being on the Crystal Maze.
Yeah.
And then the whole angle of it was the pushy game coin thing, that wasn't a comedian thing, that was just me trying to go and have a deal with Ben Shepherd.
Yeah.
But the,
I can
the Crystal Maze, the angle was that we were all stand-up comics and we had loads of, we had phone interviews, email interviews and all that. And then it got to the final bit where we had to go and do the camera test and play the games. And so we did it, and obviously it wasn't a set. It was just this room in this hotel in Birmingham. And
it was just Richard Ayoade in a ball pool.
And I need to stand up to do the story justice. But my friend Dave Longley, he's a very big, confident bloke, and the producer was lovely. She said, "Listen, it might be your first time in front of a camera, so don't worry, just relax. You do whatever you need to do to relax. We're all friends here." And she was being over nice.
Yeah.
And then so we all had to hold up a bit of paper in front of the camera and say, "Hello, my name's Barry from Nottingham, da 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 da." And then it got to Dave, and Dave went, "Hiya, and we were thinking, "What are you doing?" And she went, "It's all right, you just hear." And he went, "All right, fair enough. I'm Dave Longley from Nottingham." Right? And we all looked at him like, "The fuck have you just done that for?" Right? The cameraman, I swear I could see him just being like, "Oh, yeah, that's that. Don't need any more of that."
Do you remember my one, the Pirates one that I did? Well, you weren't there, but I've told you about it. Have I ever told you about the Pirates?
About the, was this, I think you mentioned it, the kids show.
Ed and I went to
it.
Yeah. So it was when I was in Peacock and Gamble, me and Ed Gamble, and we went to BBC in Salford because they said about us being in it. I think it's on that show now.
Right.
And they have two pirates. And Karen Taylor was there. I think she was casting for another part in it.
Okay.
And we got there and we were like a bit humming and hawing about whether we wanted to do Kids Telly, about whether that would be something that we... But I think Peacock and Gamble would potentially be quite a good fit for Kids Telly, really.
Yeah.
And we went in there and we did an absolutely belting casting. We did really, really well. Loads of improv. Ed had paid for himself to come up. I had gigs up north anyway. So I just come across Salford from there. And we were so, so good. We'd done brilliantly about it. And there's a panel of people there. And there was a girl on the camera there as well. And they said, it's been very funny what you've been doing. We had to do some cooking and that. We were throwing flour over all that. Which was very, very funny. We really like you. But how do you feel? Because, you know, you have done Edinburgh shows and things. How do you feel about working with children? And I just went, hang on, is this to do with you, Tree?
Right.
And Ed did the same thing. Well, I can still see it now. I can still see Ed, now just going... looking at me. And I went, what? That's how they get you, mate. That's how they get you. And it just fucking... And I get only the girl on the camera was laughing. And we were like, she's probably not the decision maker. We just sat outside, at Salford by the quay and all that sort of thing. And he was just like, I can't believe I've paid so much money to come up here to do that. And we did it so well. And then you brought up you brought up the air badge and I knackered it, I think.
Good show.
I've not heard yet.
They still made us play the games at the Crystal Maze even after that. They did, obviously, yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, we had to cut a pizza into seven bits or something with three goals or something. Yeah. And it just, honestly, it was so fucking depressing. Just sat there with this fake plastic knife going, yeah, put one there. Just going, this is fucking...
Dave's had a wank.
Yeah. Dave's pretending
it's not going to happen now, is it?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, yeah.
Are you sure it was definitely the Crystal Maze?
Yeah, I was thinking that then.
They cut a pizza into three bits.
Yeah, I've not seen the new Crystal Maze, but is that what we do now?
Try and cut this pizza into three bits.
No, they were making us play mental games. I think they looked up one, looked at me and went, don't bother with the physical, we'll get the big lad to do those ones. So, you cut a pizza into bits, you look like you know how.
The guys who got your job were very good, though. I've watched that show with my kids. I'm trying to think what it's called. I can think of this. Swashbuck. Hey, ho, swashbucklers go. Put up the pirate. Yo, ho, ho.
Oh, I know this one. I learned it.
Don't mention you, Tree, or you won't be up to this. I think they're called Cook and Line. They're Cook, Line,
that's
and
right,
Sinker.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
And I think the guy, I might be wrong about this. I'm going to just say it anyway. I think they are in a relationship together, the two guys.
Are they? Play.
Yeah, I
believe. Me and Ed were?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What they're looking for. And
Ed's Ed's doing it with someone else. It's Ed and James Acaster. They've done much better at podcasts than you. So you got to do it, get rid of the dead wood. That's what you got to do, really.
What does that make me?
What do you mean?
You say it was get rid of the dead wood.
No, I'm saying that you are set for stardom as long as you drop me.
All right.
Oh, no, Ed didn't drop. It wasn't... I fell out over a chick. That's not true either. it was over a drugs thing.
So, guys...
I'm annoyed as well because you've had your... under your shirt as well. Can I just show you this? Yeah. Are you getting ready to wrap up?
Yeah, but we can do another
one. Can I just show you that? Show me your shirt that you've got. It's lovely. No, the one underneath.
I have to go to Marks and Spencer.
Show the one underneath. I've got a Parapod glow-in-the-dark one.
Yeah.
Which I would feel uncomfortable wearing, but for Bob Mortimer, who in 1991 used to wear the Big Night Out T-shirt on stage, and I thought it was the cool... As a teenager, I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, that someone was wearing their own merch. I thought, it made me buy that T-shirt. I've not got it anymore, but... Yeah, so I thought, I'm going to wear it, I don't care. But I've also made Barry West mother merch as well. I'll show you. Well, this is the character called Cactus Man that Barry's sporting for us now on his T-shirt, which is a character that I bought off Barry for 10 pence.
Yeah.
Because he thought it was a no good idea, and I've subsequently put it on merchandise and made loads of money on it. And I'm doing a graphic novel as well, and there's also genuinely a film in development.
Oh, really?
An animated film is in development, right? Attached to a proper production company.
You're joking. Yeah.
You know, I said I've got something to tell you, and I'm not telling you. I've sold it. I've sold the full rights to it.
Fucking hell.
10p. Not bad, that is it.
Well, he sold it. That's been sold in good
investment.
He got his 10p.
Got a T-shirt.
Yes, right.
I do want that back, really.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You did that with the Parapod hoodies as well, do you remember?
The Parapod hoodies?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
That's the big finish we were going for.
When can people see this bloody film if they want to, and where is it, and what do we do? Top of the iTunes charts at the moment.
Well, you can pre-order on iTunes now, and it will be available on video on demand on several platforms such as iTunes, Amazon, and everyone's favourite one, Rakuten.
Have you got Rakuten on your telly?
Rakuten.
You've all got Rakuten? Get it on Rakuten. Yeah, get it on Rakuten.
Delete it either. You can't get rid of it.
That's good promo, isn't it?
Oh, shit, yes.
Say the name of them wrong and then say you've been trying to delete it off your telly. So the Sky Store as well. I've been trying to cancel that for months and all.
Oh, yeah, available on Sky Store as well.
Yeah, that's from the 27th of September.
Okay.
I think this will come out after the screenings. I think it will,
but it's going out right now into people's houses.
Of course it is, yeah, okay. So the screen, if you go to the PowerPoint...
And there's some people here, look... They're not ghosts, they're real people.
That's what they are. They're collateral. What's happened there? They've made it into a gig and made it into a It's All Been Nice and stuff, but we have lost them for good now. From tonight. If you go to parapod.com, all the live screenings are on there, and all that. We do Q&As at the live screenings as well and that sort of thing. So it sounds like one of them, because it's sort of better for us if people just buy it online, where if it's with iTunes and Amazon and all that sort of thing, if they get it that way on the 27th. However, genuinely, the rooms, when we've done the screenings thus far, because we did some before the lockdown and things, we've done four. Was it four? Three or four? You were at one.
I was at one.
There is a thing in the room, isn't there? There's a thing that happens in that, with that film, that I don't know if that will happen... Just watching it on telly at home. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the cinema experience. I know exactly what you mean, and
it feels an energy to it.
It's the people who are seeing it in those previews are the people who are often who've got behind. They're the big fans of it and who've contributed it. So it's got this extra element to it. But it genuinely, it's like, what is it? How much does it cost to rent it?
$7.99.
If you don't like it, I'll give you your money
to rent it. That's to buy it.
That's to buy it.
$7.99 to buy it.
Hang on, wait, what did you just say?
Like I said...
Have you just genuinely given a money-back guarantee?
If you don't like it.
Holy fuck.
I'll give you your
and
money
this
back.
Is now live. Where are cameras now? Buy it right now on iTunes, right this second.
Yeah.
Get it?
Because
if you don't like
shit.
It, when it comes out, he'll give you your money back. He's just said that. I thought it was shit as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you your money back.
Load of shit.
Guaranteed.
I was bullied all the way through that as well. Don't even believe in ghosts.
It was a fucking money.
I'll give you a free stream of Rahalastavar.
You've not asked one... I don't want you to, but you've not asked one emergency question of us today.
I know.
And I like that. I'm glad about that.
Yeah.
But I did ask Barry an emergency question on our dummy run that we did on Patreon. Where I couldn't remember what the question was, but I asked him, would he suck off Keith Allen, is what I said. And he said, how much? Oh. And I went, oh, I forget how this question goes. And I offered him £10. We did it like, Chris Tarrant's show, when he used to do that thing where the money would go up.
Yeah.
And you had to say yes before the bong.
Yeah.
So we did it like that. And what was it you agreed to that you said you would suck off Keith Allen? So was it £652, you said? I think it was. Is that right? Does anybody know? Is that right? Yeah. Thank you. Okay, £652 he would do it for. So what I would do is I would say that you can relinquish your promise to refund people for the movie.
Okay.
However, as a compensation, I think you should pay Keith Allen He's paid Barry £652.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's got to go and try and suck off Keith Allen. But we can't tell Keith Allen about it. He's just got to try to do it.
I mean, try to do it with Keith Allen's consent. I don't want him going and mouth raping Keith Allen.
Is it not just implied with Keith Allen?
Apparently, he gets his knob out at the drop of a hat.
Be ready. Just be ready is all you got to do. No, it's
funny how some people do that and get into trouble, and some people can't carry on with their careers.
But there's loads of comics who, isn't there? There is quite a lot. Have you ever been one of them?
I mean, only if the part demanded it.
No, but have you ever been the sort to get out in the pub and stuff like that, or put it on someone's shoulder and that?
I wouldn't do it now, because, you know, people would see my sad one testicle.
You did see... was that backstage chat, or can I say the thing? What is it?
Yeah,
but you said that you see it in the mirror.
Did they put a fake one in?
They can do, but I chose. I'm proudly one bald, and I'm saying when I first had it, I said I'm not having a fake one put in. That's ridiculous. No one's going to see it. And it was about 3 days after the operation. Shortly after the operation, I caught myself on the side and mirror. On one side, I looked like a grown adult man, and the other side, I looked like a tiny boy. and I thought of doing like a music hall act.
You could be the one-man Crankies.
But then it just evened out. It just goes in the middle. So it just
the one goes in the middle.
The one that's left goes, oh, I can stretch out. And just goes, just like if you're in a double bed on your own.
Do you mind me asking, have you got big balls?
I did. One of them was massive.
No, sorry.
But they work. They are quite big. So that's why I did.
Mine are tiny.
Yeah, are they?
Yeah, really small.
That means you're more likely to be monogamous.
I
think if you've got small balls, you're the monogamous, aren't you? That's the in nature. We were talking about this last week with the Nobody Panic hosts. But I think if it's small balls means monogamous and big balls means you're not meant to be monogamous in nature.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. So it's biologically.
But, you know, it's a species thing rather than you've just got small balls.
Yeah, was it an embarrassment thing of just going, well, I've found someone now who doesn't mind my little balls, so I should just stay with that person now. With my little balls, and she'll be all fine with the little balls. Yeah, they are, I've got a relatively.
I was born with three. I've told you this.
You've really not. How the fuck can you look at me and say I was born with three balls, and then go, I've told you this. Of course. Yeah, do you think I would talk about anything else? What do you mean you were born with three balls?
I'm sure this is. Does anybody know that I was born with three bollocks?
Does everybody know it?
Just his mum at the back, yes.
Do you not know?
You've never told me this.
Because I was gutted because they shaved me. It was in the Who's the Bigger Man competition. I think we should wrap up now.
No. Fuck, you can't do that to people. What, were they all three of them testicles?
Well...
Or was it like a growth or whatever?
Well, one of them was sort of a bit...
But they were testicles within.
Yeah, all right,
maybe
going like one of your balls wasn't good enough. I've only got one, mate.
Yeah,
I had one that wasn't quite up to testicle par.
I've got loads of balls, mate.
No, I've got right.
I don't love that little extra ball.
Oh, sorry.
You could have kept it for Richard. He could have had your ball in his little sack.
You come here complaining about your two balls.
I mean, I've got two, but it's only one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you add them together.
Yeah, yeah.
How's this only come up at the end of the...
He tells me something almost every day, I think, that should have been the biggest story he's ever told me. Like every single day, and that's a new one now.
How did they find out? When did they take the third... Because when you're a baby, it's not...
No, what happened was, we used to camp out in my mate's back garden, and my mate Phil was a couple of years older, whereas me and my brother were the same age, and he was giving it, oh, I'm the bigger man, I've got pubes now, right? We just had like a couple of spider's legs and that, right? But I just thought...
Then you drop your pants and were like a desk toy.
Mate, not a million miles away from that. I just went, yeah, well, check this out, three balls, right? Went, one, two, three, right? My mum was outside the tent, and she went, three balls? And I went, yeah. And she went, doctors. We went to the doctors, and I had an operation. I'll show you the scar.
You don't have to.
And they took it out, and when when I came out, I was gutted because they'd shaved off the three pubes I had. So I'd gone from top of the league to the bottom in the tent.
Which ironically is what's just happened to our film on iTunes.
Oh shit, yeah, buy the film.
It's called The Parapod, a very British ghost film.
How did they choose which one to take off?
That's a good question.
It was really obvious, it was a bit higher. It was higher than the other two. It was clearly a passenger.
Yeah, just there. It was just there, you know, under my cock.
Could you retract your penis up into your body?
Do you know what? Because it...
When we were at the bat, when Bob was on, he was just going, I could
do this.
It sort of happened. I don't want to be serious because I know you've had things, but I had a bit of a health scare about a few months back. Right, basically, the thought I might have had bladder cancer, right?
Okay.
So I had
it's available on iTunes now.
Yeah.
Do pre-order the Parapod, a very British ghost hunt. Back to the cancer and the cancer.
And they had to keep doing the camera, and in the end, my knob was like, we know what's coming in here. Like, we know this place. And it just shot up inside. It just skin. And honestly, because I told you about it, because the woman in the room, don't worry, I'm not going to do the accent, right? Okay?
Well, the fact you've just said that is as bad as doing the accent.
Because she went, too small.
Yeah.
The lady in the room shouted, too small. And he thought they meant his penis. And what was it?
It just gone up because it knew what the pain was like.
But do you think that your penis does... Do you think... Because you said... And it's like it knew. It just went, no, I'm going.
Well, I didn't do it myself.
Do you think your penis doesn't... It's not separate to you. It's not a different little man down there, is it?
It's all
part of the same thing.
Yeah, but things happen to your body. Like, you don't give yourself goose pimples.
But it's not your penis that's making the decision.
It did that, too.
No, it's you. It's you.
It's made some fucking stupid ones in the past as well, I can tell you that.
What do you reckon?
Is that cancellable? It's gone out. It's on the internet already.
It has happened, hasn't it? Yeah. That has just happened.
It's gone into people's houses.
Yeah. Ex-girlfriends, everyone's saying that now.
Worried about Dave Longley, he's fucking massive. He'll twat me for that Crystal Maze story.
If he can stop wanking long enough to do it, yeah.
Well, I think it's been a lovely advert for your film.
Oh, God.
Hopefully everyone will go and download it.
I hope they will as well. And, but it isn't like this, really.
It's, you know...
It's a bit like this, isn't it? A little bit.
It's good. It's very good. And not as good as this. But it's good. Look, thanks, guys, for coming. I'm really glad we got to do this after 18
Yay.
Months.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for everyone.
Cheers. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Parapod Nerds. Ian. Thank you very much. Come and see us again. We've still Thank tickets you. For October. Come and see us in October. Goodbye. You have been listening to Hullastapur with me, Rich Herring, and my guests, Barry Dodds and Ian Boldsworth. Scant Regard are responsible for the music you are now listening to. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you very much to Chris Evans and all the team from Go Faster Stripe. They do a wonderful job. Thank you to everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre for making us so welcome. You are fantastic, especially the bar staff, I have to say. They are the best. And this is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Go to GoFasterStripe.com. Buy downloads, buy books, and become a badger at GoFasterStripe.com/badges and help us make even more podcasts. You can get ad-free podcasts as well if you do that if you want. But the ads are good, aren't they? They're my favourite bit.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. richardherring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And gofasterstripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show. If you enjoyed it, if you want to see me, that'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.